And now we take a look once again at the past week's events here in the Vatican. Our regular Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, sat down with me to review some of the highlights of the past 7 days.
OK, Joan, so let's talk about this week that's just passed. Let's start with the Pope's Regina Caeli.
Well, this was his first Regina Caeli. Of course, after returning from the United States, he did refer to that trip. But also what was very important about his remarks was that this followed the Pope's ordination of 29 deacons to the priesthood, including a 35-year-old Iraqi in St. Peter's Basilica earlier in the morning. And he did speak about that at the Regina Caeli. He said, as he reminded the new priests, he said that the mission of the church, and its in particular, of course, of priest, is to sow in the world the joy of the gospel. And he said, where Christ is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit and welcomed with an open mind, society, though marked by many problems, becomes a city of joy. So after referring then briefly to the ordination, he did speak about his trip to the United States, which he will see in a minute. He also did at the Wednesday audience. And it seems the Holy Father, to put it in a nutshell, had an excellent time in the United States. Anybody who watched TV could see it on his face. But he said Sunday he thanked God because he greatly blessed this singular missionary experience of mine and allowed me to be an instrument of hope in Christ for that church and country. And then I thought this was very moving. The Pope said, I thank him because I, too, was confirmed in hope by American Catholics. And he spoke of the church's the great vitality and the decisive will in America to live and witness in to faith in Christ.
And the fact that for Americans, religion still plays a very important part in their lives, doesn't it, compared to Europe?
He noted that in the United States. He mentioned it at the Wednesday audience. Before Wednesday, he mentioned it at the at the Regina Caeli, as we said. And I think he was struck by that. And I think more than anything else, if there were any doubts in anybody's mind about how he'd be received by Americans, of course, those were completely wiped out of their minds the first day of his visit to the United States. And as you can hear from the Pope himself in his own words.
Now, at the Regina Caeli, I gather he also talked about some of the trouble spots in the world, some of those developing countries that we often forget about. He made a plea for Somalia, Darfur, and Burundi, didn't he?
He did. He mentioned those three countries in particular, calling them, you know, war-torn and impoverished areas of Africa. So three countries, and Somalia, we know there's been an armed conflict which has created a humanitarian situation, made it very, very developing, this ongoing conflict. And, of course, Darfur, what can we say about Darfur? How many years now has this been on the scene? And the Pope says, despite a few momentary glimpses of hope, the tragedy continues, of course, to kill thousands of people. And then Burundi, if I can just say this interestingly enough, there's an ongoing situation in Burundi, conflict, and there were bombardments several days before he mentioned this at the Regina Caeli. And the Vatican Embassy, as a matter of fact, in the capital city, was hit and damaged by the bombing. Interesting Sunday, but Monday.
Okay, yes, Monday was fascinating because there was this survey that was published about the level of Bible literacy in 9 countries, and it had some surprising findings, didn't it? That Americans, perhaps not so surprisingly, were amongst the world's most Bible literate people, but Spaniards, French, and Italians were amongst the most ignorant about the Bible.
Really surprising. Now, 13,000 people were interviewed. This was done by the Catholic Biblical Federation and a market research organization in Italy called GFK Eurisco. And the results were very surprising in countries always called traditionally Catholic Italy, traditionally Catholic Spain. You're right, these did have the lowest level, if you will, of Bible literacy. And then Americans were also seen to have the highest level of religious experience and participation, you know, in church events, in charitable activities, and so forth. And interestingly enough, they were found to be the most willing to spend money on proclaiming, spreading the Bible's message. Now, These, we should tell our listeners that the survey was undertaken with a view to the synod this coming October, which will be focusing on the gospel, on scriptures. And so it's the theme is the word of God in the life and mission of the church. So this will be presented to those participating in the synod. And, of course, since Monday, it's been spread all over the world. But, I mean, there's so many interesting questions that were asked. Asked, for example, if they'd read a phrase from the Bible in the past 12 months, 75% of Americans said yes, but only 20 to a maximum of 38% of the other countries said yes.
A big difference.
Spain was the lowest with 20. Who would have thought that, you know? And interestingly enough, the French were the most opposed to teaching the Bible in schools, whereas Americans were split about evenly. Of course, we have the famous separation of church and state in America. Poland, by the way, one of the nine countries studied, Poland came out fairly well in this, as I think at least you and I would certainly suspect. They
yes,
had the
indeed.
Highest percentage of those who said they attended religious services regularly. 91%. And then, of course, the United States followed with 77%, and Russia with 75%.
That's perhaps more surprising.
Oh, another thing, actually, the listener should be told, of all the people interviewed, the majority were Christians. Of those Christians, the majority were Catholic. But, I mean, like in Russia, you had Orthodox. So,
sure.
But interesting enough, you still had a high percentage of participation.
Okay, let's move on now to the Wednesday general audience, where again Pope Benedict talked about his U.S. trip, didn't he?
He did, and we should alert people that, of course, this is always done after a trip. It's not that the Holy Father kind of decided to focus on the United States at his Wednesday audience, but normally the first audience after any kind of an apostolic trip, the Pope talks about that and reviews it. And interestingly enough, actually the preceding Wednesday, the Pope had only been back in Rome 2 days. He was not scheduled to have the Wednesday audience. That
no,
would have been,
resting.
What, April 23rd. But there was the funeral of Cardinal Lopez Trujillo, and so, of course, he participated in that and gave the homily. But back to this audience on his trip to America, he again really showed his delight in how this trip unfolded. Every single day, he relived the various events, beginning with meeting President Bush in the White House. And the Pope said, and I love this, I had the opportunity to pay homage to that great country, which from its beginnings was built on the foundation of a harmonious union between religious, ethical, and political principles. And as a matter of fact, the Pope's words from the audience were on the front page of the Osservatore Romano, which came out on Wednesday afternoon. And this is what they highlighted, very positive headlines of choosing the Pope's words from his talk Wednesday. And the Pope said that America, was and still constitutes a valid example of healthy laicism. And then, of course, the Pope went on to say that same afternoon that he met the president, later in the afternoon he met his brother bishops, confirming them, supporting them in their difficult task of spreading the gospel in a society marked by no small number of contradictions. And he said he encouraged the bishops to make their voices heard on the moral and social questions of the day. And the interesting thing is, before the Pope went to the States, people were saying, oh, he's really going to take the bishops to task. He's really going to take educators to task for some of the colleges that say they're Catholic, being less than Catholic, if you will. And the Holy Father took him to task, but not as a severe father with a whip.
No.
His admonitions were verbal. He made himself quite clear. And, of course, we all know that one issue he did speak about, and many times, I think at least five, was the issue of the sexual abuse by members of the clergy.
Indeed, some people were even saying he was almost making it the cornerstone of his, which is perhaps going too far. But
I was asked on an Italian television show, which I did from New York. I was asked, Miss Lewis, weren't you surprised when the Pope spoke of this issue of sexual abuse by
priest. And I said, I would have been surprised had he not spoken of it. He knows what a wound it is in our country or wherever it has occurred. And certainly America's not alone in this. One priest would still be one too many for the Holy Father. So the Pope, as a priest, deeply felt this wound. And you know what? He began by talking about it on the plane. Then he mentioned it several times throughout his trip. And he met with victims from people from Boston who had been victims of this.
Which was unscheduled as well.
Exactly. And what this really should have shown the public, if they know how to read things, was the Pope didn't mention this just once, kind of like, oh, whew, gee, that's over and done with. We don't need to talk about that again. He mentioned it quite a number of times to show he understood the severity of the impact of this on the United States.
Now, after the audience, it was interesting that the Pope had a meeting with a group of representatives from Islamic countries. Can you tell us something about that, Joan?
He did. He went into a small hall off the Paul VI hall. The audience, of course, was outside in St. Peter's Square. But he met participants in the 6th meeting of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization from Tehran, Iran. And they've been meeting to study a theme which the Pope told them he thoroughly approved of. The theme and the venue of the meeting, of course, the Vatican. The theme was faith and reason in Christianity and Islam. Now, in the course of their meeting, 3 people from the Catholic side, 3 people from the Muslim side presented papers to help these scholars study that theme more in depth. And then they had sub-themes. Faith and reason, you know, what is their relation? Theology, kalam, as it's called for the Muslims, as an inquiry into the rationality of faith. And you can just see, you almost could imagine Benedict being present at the meeting and how he would have listened and what he would have said. But interestingly enough, though the Vatican did not release the text of the Pope's remarks or the interchange with the Catholics and Muslims, they did release a communique on points on which both sides agreed.
And what were they?
Faith and reason are gifts of God to mankind. Faith and reason do not contradict each other. Faith might in some cases be above reason, but never against it. And if that sounds like something you've heard from Pope Benedict, it certainly is. Interesting, perhaps one of the best points. Faith and reason are intrinsically nonviolent. Neither faith nor reason should be used for violence. Unfortunately, both of them have been sometimes misused, instrumentalized to perpetrate violence. In any case, these events cannot question either reason or faith. And then, of course, the communique goes on to say that both sides agree to further cooperate promoting genuine religiosity, in particular spirituality. It states that Muslims and Christians should go beyond tolerance, and there is a big difference between tolerance and cooperation.
I was speaking there to Vatican expert Joan Lewis.